Wow. Who today is thankful that we were under the influence of the evil one? But praise God, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he set us free today. Anybody thankful for that today? Man, drama team, thank you guys so much for helping us with that skit. Oh my goodness, what an awesome portrayal of those that are under control of the enemy. But praise God that through his death, burial, and resurrection, we have freedom and release from the enemy, and that we have hope and peace. Man, thank you guys so much. Let's hear it for them again. Didn't they do a good job? Man, thank you guys. Spoke into my heart. I've been there. I know what it's like to have that pull, don't you? To see what that's like sometimes, yet to experience the amazing grace of God. We are currently in a series entitled, Are You Alive? And we're asking that question about the signs of life, that if you know Jesus, there are things in your life that are indicators that you are living for the Lord. And that ultimately we know that begins when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, when we admit to God we're sinners, we believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and we choose to follow Christ. But yet we know that when Jesus comes into us, he begins to change us. Now, we've had a memory verse this whole month of learning as a church and memorizing scripture. Last week, I forgot to quote it, and you all let me know about that. How about that, you know? So I'm glad that we are memorizing scripture. So let's read our memory verse out loud. It's in your program. It's on the screen. Here we go. You ready? Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Do everything without grumbling and arguing so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation among whom you shine like stars in the world. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. How about we do it one more time? Are you ready? Here we go. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Do everything without grumbling and arguing so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation among whom you shine like stars in the world, Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Well, a few years ago, my wife and I got on a Dave Ramsey kick. Some of you guys did the Dave Ramsey stuff the last time around. Who are my Dave Ramsey people in the house? Yep. These are all the people eating ramen noodles all the time now. And we got on that Dave Ramsey kick a few years ago. And my wife and I, it was great. We were able to pay off debt, get out of debt. It was pretty amazing. But we started doing a couple of things that were really helpful for us, such as couponing. Anybody coupon in the house? All right. Notice how it's all ladies. Guys don't know what coupons are, you know? And a couple of them do, maybe. I'm so sorry you admitted that today, Charlie Keller. But I'm glad you know what couponing is, Charlie. And but we also got on a kick of buying off-brand stuff. You know, like there was that old commercial where, you know, don't buy the cereal up here, but buy it down there. Do you remember that? And we would buy all kinds of off-brand stuff. And I remember that there were a few things that we would buy that off-brand, that were off-brand. It was an off-brand, you know? And it was something that, you know, it just was not the same, particularly spaghetti sauce. I don't know what it was, but we just had a thing with spaghetti sauce. There was only certain brands of spaghetti sauce that we liked. And the reality is sometimes things that are off-brand are not always the best brand. I found these online, Josh, if you just want to go through them. Crispy Hexagons. I don't know if I'd recommend Crispy Hexagons today, or Panburger Partner. It says it's from High Top. Mountain Shouting? No. Marshmallow and Stars. That sounds like a real winner, doesn't it? Square-shaped corn. No. And this is the best one. The ladies are the best ever. Could it be butter? Could it be butter? I don't know. Could it? Sometimes the off-brands, thanks Josh, sometimes the off-brands simply don't cut it. And I know for me as a Christian, when it comes to believing in Jesus Christ, in authentic, real faith, I don't want an off-brand Christianity. I want the real deal. When we are ministering and living out the name of Jesus and doing what Christ has called us to do, I don't want a subpar Christianity. I don't want a could this be Christianity brand? I don't want that to happen. I want us to be the real deal, because the reality is, if you believe in Jesus, you believe that God became man, he died on the cross, he went to the grave, 3 days later he rose from the grave, and that he gives our lives forgiveness, meaning, and purpose for all of eternity. And to me, that's a big deal. And I also believe that when Jesus Christ enters a person's life, that he changes them from the outside in. What I love about this church is that this is a church that is you come as you are. We just welcome you no matter how you are. The old saying is you don't clean a fish before you catch a fish. But here's the great thing is that we welcome you as you are, but we believe Jesus will not leave you the same way that you came in. That Jesus will change you and he will make you different. And maybe you came in dead, but now you're leaving alive today. And the Lord is doing that. Now, for many of us, when we think of Christianity, or we think of the gospel, or we think of the Bible, we limit our understanding to church to one day at 1 hour for 1 week, and that is the Sunday morning worship time. Sunday morning worship is incredibly important. I mean, it's incredibly important. It's one of the purposes of the church, but it's only one of the purposes of the church. So the reality is what we're doing right now is not all that the church does. It's not all that you as a Christian should do. Should a Christian come to the worship service? Absolutely. They should be involved in the assembling of ourselves together, and not to forsake that. They should be involved in the worship service. But the church is not just 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Actually, there's 5 purposes to the church. Worship is one of them, but discipleship, where we grow in our walk with God, evangelism, where we share with others, fellowship, where we're in community with each other, and then ministry is another part of the church. Authentic Christianity holds all 5 of those, all 5 of them. The Great Commission, the Great Commandment put together. It's authentic Christianity. But we cannot talk about authentic Christianity unless we talk about what it means to minister to people. Now, some of you already are getting a little nervous, because when you think of minister, you know what you think of? You think of who? Me. And you think, well, the only person that ministers is the preacher, and we pay him to minister, so can he get with it? Right? Get with it. But actually, that's not true. If you've ever been through class 101, and hopefully we got a lot of people going through 101 today, I hope so. I want you to come today to class 101. You learn something, that the people are the ministers, because if Jesus is in your life, guess what? Good news. You've been commissioned to minister, to help people. And the pastors are the administrators, meaning that we help administrate the ministry. All of us in this room are ministers. Now, you may not see yourself like that, but if Jesus is in your life, he sees you like that. And you need to get about your ministry today. Because authentic, genuine, not off-brand, but brand-name Christianity are people that are rolling their sleeves up and getting dirty for the cause of the gospel. They are people that are not afraid to reach out and to visit the sick, or to pray with the hurting, or to sacrifice for the poor. They are people that are willing and ready to go out and do ministry in the name of Jesus. Makes sense. Jesus was with the poor and the disenfranchised and the hungry. Jesus was with them all the time, and he met their needs. So if Christ is in our lives, and if we are really to have a rolled up Christianity, as we're going to study about all this week in our life groups and in our readings, if we really are an authentic believers in Jesus, we don't just go to church on Sunday morning. Guys, we are the church. And we're out here ministering and helping and meeting needs. Now, some of you all, you don't realize that you have a ministry. I can't go in today to talk about all how to discover your ministry, but here's what I can do today. You need to go to class what? 301, where we talk about discovering your ministry. And every person has a shape which determines their ministry. You have spiritual gifts, the S part of shape. You have a heartbeat, or things that you have affinity towards, or things that you enjoy. You have abilities, which are skills that you practice and God gave you. You have a personality. You have life experiences that God uses. And when you take your shape, spiritual gifts, hearts, abilities, personality, and your life experiences, and you put them all together, you're going to discover your ministry. And what I love about this church is if God's laying something on your heart to start a ministry, you ready? Start it. Start it. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be getting money for it, or it doesn't mean you're going to be fundraising for it out in the halls, but it means that you're going to go out with a group of people, and you're going to have a call on your God, and you're going to get some people around you. And if you come to me and say, Kenny, I think we should start this ministry, I said, man, I do too. When you getting started? Because if you look at me to say, Kenny, we need to start this ministry, I'm going to look back at you and say, you need to start that ministry because God laid it on your heart. Well, who's going to lead it? You're going to lead it. Well, what if nobody is following me? How can I lead if nobody follows you? Well, that's a problem. If you don't got anybody to do it with you, probably not a leader. Amen? To lead, you got to have more people. Does that make sense? That's the way it works. You got to have people with you. But I'm harping on 301. So make a note. You ready? If you want to learn your ministry, you need to go to class. Oh, you sound so excited saying that, don't you? All right. But here's what I do want you to know. I want to cover the basics of ministry today, the basics of ministry, of how you can help other people in the name of Jesus. And this is what we're going to discuss this morning. We're going to talk about the who, the how, and the why of ministry. We're going to learn the who, the how, and the why of ministry. The who, the how, and the why of ministry. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read actually more than what's listed in your program, but we're going to start in verse 31, okay? We're going to start in verse 31, so I think it's going to pick up on 34 on the screen, but just listen if you don't have your Bibles with you. But verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison, and then we visited you? And the King, which is Jesus, will answer them, I assure you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then He will also say to those on the left, and this is the other side of the story. These are the goats. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me. Then they too will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you? Then He will answer them, I assure you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me either. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. God, may you bless the word this morning. If we look at this story, we quickly see a picture of the why, the how, and the who of ministry. Three things really quick. First, as we study this passage, we see this, that the who, I minister as a member of the family. When Jesus is telling us this, notice what He says. It's the end. The end has come, and He's talking about a cosmic judgment, and the nations are brought before God, and He begins to do something. He separates those that He calls the sheep from the goats. And the sheep He puts on His right hand, and the goats He puts on His left hand. And these are individual judgments that they are receiving. But notice that the sheep are able to go into eternal life, but the goats are cast out into darkness. Now, we know this is not livestock Jesus is talking about. You with me? Look at your neighbor and say, today's not a lesson on agriculture. Will you tell them that today? We're not talking about literal sheep and goats. What we're talking about are symbolism of those that know the Lord and those that do not know the Lord. Now, the sheep are very interesting because they are permitted into eternal life. They are going into the gates. They are being welcomed in. Now, some would read this and they would say, okay, well, the sheep fed Jesus, they clothed Jesus, so therefore the sheep are going to heaven based on their good deeds. And I get why you say that when you read this passage. I do good deeds, therefore I am a sheep. But that is a misinterpretation of this reading, and I can prove it from Scripture. Let me show you. Notice what Jesus says to the sheep. He says to them, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and look here, inherit the kingdom. If you work for something, you don't inherit that. You what? You earn that. An inheritance happens because you are a member of the what? Of the family. The sheep do the things the sheep did, clothing, caring, etc. Why? Because they knew Jesus Christ personally. And there's further language that we're going to look on down here in a second that talks about his brothers. Meaning what? There is a family picture that's happening. And those that are in the family of God are doing things that Jesus did while he was here on earth. They are helping people and loving people. The sheep are not going to heaven because they worked their way into heaven. They're going to heaven because they're part of the family. Therefore, they had works that backed up what they believed. Now, I have children. And when my kids were born, all three of them have physical traits and characteristics that look like me or her mother or both of us put together. Now, Hopi looks a little different. She broke the mold. But if you look at pictures of Hope when I was a child, we are like a spitting image, which is really scary for Hope, all right? But we are like identical as children. It's just crazy. It's really, really weird. But they have characteristics. Why? Because my children have mine and my wife's DNA flowing through them. You ready for this? When you accepted Jesus by faith and you turned from your sin, repented of your sin, turned to Jesus, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You are sealed at the moment of belief. The Spirit of God comes inside of you. He then begins to produce fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit's job in your life, are you ready for this, is to make you look more like Jesus every day you're alive. So you know what happens? When you accept Jesus, every day you are in a process of looking more and more and more like Jesus. Now, I've got a long way to go. Anybody else? Well, if God tarries and there's a tomorrow, he'll work on you. Amen? He's going to work on you. So we see that the sheep are not going to heaven because they clothed and fed and things like that. They are going to heaven. They are inheriting heaven because they're part of the family. They have been brought in by Jesus Christ. This is why we minister. Jesus is in us. Therefore, he sticks out of us. You've heard me tell this example before, but a little boy was talking to his dad, and the dad said, son, you need to let Jesus in your heart. You need to let Jesus inside of you. And the little boy said, he thought about it for a second, and he said, well, dad, if Jesus comes inside of me, won't he stick out? And you know what? He does. When Christ comes inside of you, guess what? He sticks out. You can't help but to minister. You can't help but to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give drink to those that are thirsty. You can't help but to help when Jesus has helped you. Y'all with me today, church? Now, the big question is, are you in the family? Is Christ in your life? Because you'll never do enough works to matter to God, because the Bible says your righteousness is like filthy rags before God. So you have to have a heart transplant. You got to be adopted into the family. So have you done that? Have you turned from your sin? Have you admitted to God you're a sinner? Believe that Jesus died and rose again? And are you choosing to follow him as your Lord and Savior. We look at the scripture and it's clear. He said, come you who are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared to you from the foundation of the world. But go now to verse 35 and we learn this. The how of ministry. I minister by simply meeting needs. By meeting needs. I minister by meeting needs. Now look what it says in verse 35. For I was hungry, Jesus says, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Verse 36, I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Jesus makes a very strange declaration. The Son of God, God in flesh, makes a declaration that says he was in need. Now that is so, so difficult for me to say. Because our God needs nothing. Amen. For me to say that our Jesus was in need almost sounds blasphemous to a degree, that Jesus was in need. But we are told that there was needs to be done and that the sheep or those that are part of the family, they did a few things. They saw the need. They gathered the resources for the need. So if somebody was thirsty, they went and got what? They went and got a glass of water and they gave water. They physically went and ministered the need. They saw a physical touch. In each of these situations, there was a physical touch involved. The people literally had to go physically touch somebody, give them a drink of water, give them housing. In some situations, invite people in to actually give them housing within their own house. And things like this. They opened the door. They got up close and personal. They met needs by physically going and touching people. Now, we live in a world where we are constantly solicited for donations. And the closer we get to Christmas, guess what? The more donations you're going to get. You know that, right? Or the more solicits for donations. You'll be approached outside of shopping stores. You'll have organizations call you on the phone, trying to sell you calendars and all kinds of stuff, you know, to help you support. And listen, you'll even see the really sad Sarah McLaughlin puppy commercials that make you just want to cry, you know? In the arms of an angel, here's my checkbook, you know? Breaks your heart, doesn't it? You know, you are getting solicited from every group. And you know what? They're legit needs. Help our community with this, help our community with that. They are legit needs, but people are constantly asking you to give and to contribute. Now, for me, I'll tell you where I give my giving. I give it to the local church. Because I see the ministries that the church does. I see how we're helping people. I see we're helping missionaries. I know where it's going. It's accounted for. I see, and on top of all that, I'm committed to this family. I'm committed to this body of believers. So my giving and contributions go to my local church. But with all that said and done, okay, I think the problem we get into sometimes with always soliciting money for a need or this and that is that we are tempted to believe that ministry happens from a distance. That as long as we take out a checkbook and we write a check or we log online and we put a card number in or we give somebody a credit card number, then we've ministered. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, okay? Don't get me wrong. But here's what I am saying, that we are often tempted to believe if we just give money, that exempts us from helping people. Here's what I'm saying. If you want to act like Jesus, don't just write a check. Find somebody you can physically touch and touch them and minister to that person face to face. Well, Kenny, that's hard. Yeah, I know. It means you got to sometimes wrap your arms around somebody that doesn't smell too good and you love them. It means sometimes that you go and you sit with somebody through recovery groups. It means sometimes you go in the middle of the night to pray with somebody when you were asleep. Sometimes it means stopping on the side of the road if you're a guy. Gals don't need to do this. You're exempted, all right? But if you're a guy, it means sometimes you stop in the wisdom of God and you pick up that hitchhiker and you tell him about Jesus all the way to wherever he's going. Some of y'all thinking, man, Kenny, that is just, woo! I mean, you're talking about real people, real needs. I sure am, because that's how we minister. But Kenny, I'd rather give a check. Me too. Me too. But the Lord wants us to touch people. and to be there. I ask you to look around your community. What needs are there? You can gripe about that guy on the side of the street all the time, but have you ever stopped to pray with them? I mean, you can talk about the homeless problem or the drug problem or the alcohol problem or this and that, but when was the last time you'd held hands and prayed with an alcoholic? When's the last time you reached out and prayed that someone would be delivered from their meth addiction with them? When's the last time you gave a kid a ride to church? See, we have to reach out and touch people. And you can't be afraid of that. Because that's how we minister. We meet practical needs. Who do you need to minister to today? I mean, real flesh and blood. The last part is the why of ministry. Look at verse 37. I minister to my Savior. Never forget this. I minister to my Savior. This is the why. Verse 37. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? And they go on and they say all this. And then the king will answer them, I assure you, listen to this, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Jesus says, it wasn't me physically that you saw. Jesus needs nothing. But that person that was hungry or homeless or hurting that needed help, when you went to them and you ministered to them and you touched them and you physically were there with them and you loved on them and shared with them and ministered to them, you were ministering to me, Jesus says. You were touching me. When you were involved in that project, you were building that house for me. When you were delivering those groceries, you were feeding me. When you gave that little kid a ride to church, I was buckled in the back seat. And look what he says. This is something that blew my brain. I was studying this week, and I've never, ever noticed this about the scripture, but it's right there. Look what he says. This is mind-blowing. He says, whatever you did for one of the least of these, and look what he says, brothers of mine. I've never noticed this in Scripture. And when I started studying it and looking at it, it's been the historical interpretation throughout all the history that Jesus is specifically talking about those that are members of the body of Christ. They're brothers. Connected. Meaning what? Yes, we should help whatever need that are out there. But if there is a need within the church family, are you seeing this? And you don't meet that need within the church family. Hear me on this. You are neglecting Jesus Christ. The brothers of mine. Who do you think he's talking about? The brothers of mine. I have people call me all the time. They say, Kenny, I need help with the light bill. And the first question, are you part of a local church? No. And I stop right there. I said, I can tell you that if you were part of a local church, you wouldn't be calling me right now. Because we meet needs. We meet needs. We meet needs. We have to understand that the body of Christ are the believers that are in communion together with each other. That we're saved and we're born again. And when we join a church, when we're part of a church, and we have a family that we're responsible to help and care for. I want you today to look around the people in this room. Make an exercise. That means y'all, like on the first two rows, are going to have to literally turn your back around and look. All right? We do exercises here, getting your blood flowing. All right? You don't know the needs that are sitting around you in this room right now unless you get connected to people. Meaning that you're going to have to be involved in people's life. If you are not involved in a life group or a prayer group or setup or something, and you're not letting people get to know you, they will never know what you're going through. You know, I was sick in the hospital, Kenny, and nobody came to see me. Well, first off, you never joined the church. Second, you never went to a life group. Third, I'm here with you right now. What more do you want? The reality is that when you are connected to the body of Christ and you are actually sharing with each other and loving each other and listen, and listen some more. And when you're involved, not just warming a seat on Sunday morning. And that's pretty bold today. Well, listen, I know that everybody goes through hardships. And I know that I need community. Let me tell you a personal story. Many of y'all don't know this, but Terry knows this. We've shared this before, but we experienced, before we came to Life Community, a miscarriage in between Gracie and Hope. A lot of people don't know that, but we did. Hard, hard time for us. Difficult time for us as a family. Very, very difficult. Very, very hard. But our church at the time, man, they just wrapped their arms around us and loved on us. Man, they called me. They said, Kenny, take Sunday off. You don't have to preach. Just be with your family. Just be there. Just wrap your arms around them. Man, we had food going out of the roof, man, in our house. I had to get rid of half of it. That would not have happened if I didn't have a community. Well, Kenny, you were the pastor. That's why they did it. No, stop. I have seen people in this room. Amen. Whoa. Amen. Going through hard times, and you know what? Their church is there for them, and now they got to throw out food because y'all ran Ryan's out of business, man. You know, y'all went and bought everything up and took it down there to them. I mean, that's what happened. You helped people. Who has received help in this church? You've been helped. You've been blessed. And that's what you're supposed to do. Believers, listen to me. We are to help each other in our church. That is not to exempt the strangers that we see, because it says in Hebrews that we've entertained angels unknowingly. So we obviously help people outside. But if there are needs in this church and you are not rising to meet them, you are missing out on an opportunity to minister to Jesus Christ. But you've got, I'll say it again, you've got to be connected, because we cannot help, people cannot help if they do not know. We've got a lot of great talent in this church, but God's not given us any psychics in this church. So we cannot read minds. Look at your neighbor. No, I'm serious about this one. Look at your neighbor and repeat after me. Kenny Rager cannot read your mind. Praise God. Praise God. That is not in my job description, Mike Ray. Kenny, I went through all this stuff. Why didn't you come help me? Because I didn't know. You mean you're a human being? Yes. Let a brother know. Where's my deacons at? One of them's back there serving. There's Daniel. There's Mark. Where's Daniel? Stand up, guys. Carl's back there, deacon right now. He's with the kids. See these men? See them? Put a laser scope on them. Put a target on their chest. And when you need something, go to these men. Go to them. Go talk to them. Oh, my goodness. They're going to be running for the door now, aren't they? You know? Go to them. That's why they're deacons. They're there to minister. Now, I got to say this. I got to say this because I'm going too long today. But I got to say this. I cannot wait until I see the face of Jesus. Anybody else? Cannot wait until I see the face of Jesus by the grace of God. But here's what I'm going to tell you, all right? Some of you all have had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to already see the face of Jesus Christ. But you did not recognize him. Because Jesus did not look the way you thought he looked. He looked like a single mom that was dragging her kids in church in here every day that needed some help. And you didn't recognize him. You didn't recognize Jesus because he had a needle in his arm praying for help. You didn't recognize Jesus because he was hooked to a ventilator dying of cancer in a hospital. And you missed opportunities to see the face of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. When you look in the face of somebody in need, you'll see Jesus. You'll see Christ. You'll get a picture of Jesus. Kenny, it makes me uncomfortable talking about Jesus like that. Good. 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 Because if you're going to really minister, you got to get a little uncomfortable. Amen. But I want you to see something. With all this said and done, he's talking about the sheep, and they were proactive. They were positive in what they were doing. And the whole time they were ministering to Jesus when they were helping people. But there was a whole other group. You remember them? The goats. And the goats are a totally different story. The goats are even spoken to differently. For example, they're not sheep. The sheep had an inheritance, but they have no inheritance. The sheep are welcomed into the kingdom, but the goats are cast out into hell. The goats are told the exact same scenario that the sheep was, that Jesus was hungry, but they did not feed him. Jesus was thirsty, and they did not give him something to drink. Jesus was naked, and they did not clothe him. Jesus was in prison, and they did not come see him. And like the sheep, they said the same thing. Lord, when were you in prison? When were you sick? We missed you. We didn't catch you. When did this happen? And the goats are basically told by Jesus that whatever you did for the least of these, and you did not do it for me. If you did not do it for them, you did not do it for me. Now, goats are just doing what goats do. They don't have a heart. You know, goats are contrary little boogers. Like to butt their heads on everything. I'm pretty sure if a goat could manifest itself to a way where it could join the church, all goats would be members of Baptist churches. Because they like to butt heads, amen? But what I know, though, is that the goats had no share in the kingdom. Because the goats had no relationship. So when they saw ministry opportunities, guess what? They didn't care. I mean, and you know, really, if you don't know Jesus, why do you care? I mean, there's a reason why every major hospital, or the first hospitals that were ever built in any country, was always through Christians. Because they cared. There's a reason why somebody like Mother Teresa will spend her life in the poverty and dire circumstances. There's reasons why people in history have moved to tuberculosis hospitals and you know, to all kinds of leper colonies and things like that. And they were Christians. Because Jesus was in them. Jesus was in them. But goats don't do that. And notice also where the goats go. They go to hell. Sheep go to heaven. Goats go to hell. And we understand something really interesting about the goats. It says, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire. And don't miss this part. Prepared not for the goats, but for the devil and his angels. See, the sheep have heaven prepared for them because they know Jesus. The goats could have it if they trusted in Christ. They could have it. They could be transformed. But instead, by their own choice and their own decision, they are going to a hell that was not prepared for them, but that was prepared for the devil. We understand that salvation is a choice. But what I see today is that if you are a sheep, and Christ is in you, you have got a tremendous ministry ahead of you of helping people, caring for people, blessing people. And you ready for this? Just being nice to people. Amen. Who's going to go out to eat afterwards today? I'm going to tell you one thing, and I'm preaching too long, and I'm going to stop. You ready? All right? They know you're the church crowd. But Kenny, we don't dress like church people. I know, but they still know. And if you go out to eat on a Sunday, there is some gal, some guy that's waiting on your table that could not be at church that day because you're there. So you know what? If you leave them a lousy tip after a sermon like today, you may not be a sheep. You with me? They working. I just think everybody needs to be in church. Well, why are you eating when they need to be at church? Now, I'm not harping on people who's got to work on Sunday. You got to do what you got to do, amen? But here's what I am saying. If they got to work and you're going to eat there, at least bless them. Right? At least be nice to them. I've preached way too long. But here's what I know. Is that this invitation to be in the family of God, and then boy, it's a good family, where we care for each other and love each other. The invitation is here simply because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came and stretched his arms out on that cross and bled and died as a ransom for our sins. And if we admit to God we're sinners and believe that Jesus died and rose again and choose to follow him, he'll come into our life and save us. I leave you with just two questions. If you don't know Christ today, don't be part of this world that's a dog-eat-dog-eat world that is out to get everybody, not to hurt everybody. Instead, open your heart to Jesus and be saved. If you are a Christian today, I ask you this simple question. Will you roll your sleeves up? Go help somebody. And make Jesus smile today. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. God, we are so thankful, God, for what you're doing and how you're moving. And Lord, and I just pray today, Jesus, you give us opportunities to minister and to help people. Father, to not be judgmental or hypocritical, but just go and minister in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you, Lord, would help us, Father, always to speak the truth, God, never to compromise the message, never to apologize for sin, but God, to be there to pick people up that have been broken by the sin. God, help us to be holy sweepers that sweep up the pieces of broken lives. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, play a little bit of peace, a little bit of role as you help them come back together. God, how I pray for each of us in this room that we would discover we have a ministry, that we'd go through 301 and learn what that ministry is, that we would resign ourselves to know that we are just here to serve. So, Father, we love you. If someone is here today and they don't know Christ, I pray they'd open up their hearts and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray in your name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Maybe you need to pray. Our deacons are on the side if you'd like for them to pray with you. Maybe there's somebody you know that's hurting today and you just want to come to the altar and pray for that person today, to physically pray for that person today as we sing.